You're on final. You know something's not right. The airspeed is a little fast, the glide path's a little high, and the nose isn't where it should be. But the runway is right there, you can see it, you're close, and somewhere in the back of your head, a quiet voice says, "Just land, you can save this one." That voice has killed a lot of pilots. I'm Pattern, this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today I want to talk about what might be the most universally undertrained decision in general aviation. Not because the maneuver itself is technically hard, we practice go-arounds. You learn them early. You can fly one. The problem is something else entirely. It's the judgment call that's supposed to come before it, and that judgment call fails all the time. Let's start with the data. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, consistently identifies approach and landing as one of the highest risk phases of flight. Hard landings, runway overruns, excursions off the side. When you dig into the reports, there's a pattern that repeats itself. The approach wasn't stable, the setup wasn't right, and the pilot did not go around. So the question is, why not? Before we get into it, shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now back to that voice. There's a concept in psychology called commitment bias. Once you've mentally committed to an outcome, your brain starts working to justify that outcome rather than evaluate it, honestly. You've been flying for an hour. You can see the runway. You've already configured the airplane. Every action you've taken for the last 10 miles has been pointed at landing. Your brain wants to complete that sequence, and so it starts making deals with you. The airspeed is a little fast, but I'll bleed it off in the flare. I'm a little high, but I can slip it down. The wind's shifted, but I've handled a crosswind before. Each one of those statements might be defensible in isolation, but you're stacking them. And when you stack enough small compromises on top of each other, you've built something unstable. And unstable things tend to fall. Here's the framework the professional world uses. It's called the stabilized approach concept, and every Part 121 operation has a formal version of it. The idea is simple. By a defined gate, typically 500 feet above ground level in visual conditions, your approach needs to meet specific criteria. And if it doesn't, you go around. No discussion. No negotiation. What are those criteria? At that gate, you should be on the correct glide path on centerline. Your airspeed should be at your target approach speed within about 10 knots. Your descent rate should be manageable, generally not exceeding 1,000 feet per minute. You should be in your final landing configuration. Flaps, gear down if applicable, and you should have a reasonable expectation that at the threshold, the airplane will be where you need it to be, at the energy state you need to land safely. If any of those boxes aren't checked at 500 feet, the answer is go around, not maybe. Not let me see how the next 100 feet feel. The answer is go around, now. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, lists go-arounds as a required task for the private pilot check ride. The examiner needs to see you recognize an unstabilized approach and initiate the maneuver correctly. Full power, pitch to the proper attitude, retract flaps in increments, establish a positive climb, track the centerline mechanically. Most applicants can do it. The issue is everything that leads up to the decision. I've sat in the right seat for a lot of training flights and a lot of check rides. I've watched students fly a beautiful approach, watch it start to fall apart at 400 feet, and squeeze the airplane onto the pavement anyway. Every time I ask them why they didn't go around, the answer is almost always some version of the same thing. I thought I could save it. You're not saving it, you're gambling with it. There's a difference. Let me walk you through a few scenarios. Real situations, the kind that show up in NTSB accident narratives. Scenario 1. A pilot arrives at an unfamiliar airport late in the afternoon. Sun is low and in their eyes on final. They misjudge the glide path. They're high, they cross the threshold with too much altitude and too much speed. The runway is disappearing behind them. A go-around is the right call. Instead, they try to salvage it. The available runway isn't long enough. They run off the far end. Scenario 2. A student flying one of their first solo sessions comes in a little fast on final. They know the speed is off. Their instructor's voice is in their head, but so is the voice that says, "If I go around, I have to fly another pattern, and I've been out here a while." They land fast, bounce balloon, and touch down hard enough to stress the nose gear. Scenario 3. An experienced pilot approaches a short grass strip with a light crosswind. They're slightly right of centerline on short final. They've landed here before. They decide to press in. The right wing drifts toward the tree line on the narrow strip. They clip a branch. It's recoverable that day. But sitting there on the ground afterward, they know exactly what should have happened. The common thread is the decision. The pilot had information. The information said this isn't right, and the pilot chose to press on anyway. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was a student. The go-around isn't an admission that you messed up the approach. The go-around is the correct response to an approach that isn't meeting standards. Those are two completely different things. One is a failure. The other is a skill. And the sooner that mindset change happens, the safer you will be for the rest of your flying life. Professional crews are trained, not just encouraged, trained to go around without hesitation when approach criteria aren't met. The captain doesn't have a debate with themselves about whether they can probably save it. If the approach is unstabilized inside the gate, they go around. That culture doesn't exist at the airline level by accident. It exists because someone looked at the accident data and built procedures around it. We're general aviation pilots. We don't have a first officer calling unstabilized go around. We don't have a dispatcher watching our approach plate. We have ourselves, and ourselves in that moment really wants to land. So how do you build the habit? Start with the brief. Before every flight, say your go around criteria out loud. Not in your head. Out loud. I will initiate a go around if I'm not stable by 500 feet. No exceptions. When you say it before you fly, you've already made the decision. Now when the moment comes, you're not deciding, you're executing. Second, practice go-arounds deliberately, not just when your instructor calls for one, ask for them. On your next solo flight, go out and fly multiple patterns with the specific intention of going around at 500 feet, even when the approach looks fine. You're normalizing the maneuver. You're making it something you do routinely rather than something you do reluctantly. Third, understand your gates. At 500 feet, you have time. At 200 feet, you have less. At 50 feet, you're committed. The lower you get without making the go-around call, the worse your options become. A go-around from low altitude is absolutely flyable, but it requires more runway, more power, and more precise execution. The early call is always the better call. Fourth, and this is the psychological piece, give yourself permission to fly multiple approaches. Some pilots feel a pressure to land on the first try, as if going around is inefficient or embarrassing or a sign of weakness. Especially when there are passengers aboard. Especially when there's traffic in the pattern and you don't want to hold everyone up. Especially when it's getting dark and you want to get the airplane down. The airplane will still be there on the next lap. The runway will still be there. Flying one more pattern to set up a safe landing is the cheapest insurance you will ever buy. Now, let's talk about check rides. Because this comes up a lot. You're on a check ride. You're in the pattern. The approach starts to deteriorate. You know the examiner is watching, and somewhere in the back of your mind, a thought appears. If I go around now, the DPE is going to think I can't fly a normal approach. Here's what the designated pilot examiner is actually thinking. Good, they recognized it. They made the correct call. This is exactly the judgment I'm looking for. I've talked to a lot of examiners. The go-around executed at the right moment for the right reason is not a problem on a check ride. It is evidence of sound aeronautical decision-making. What concerns the examiner is a pilot who presses in on an unstabilized approach because they don't want to admit the approach wasn't where it needed to be. That's the judgment failure they're watching for. The ACS is explicit about this. The go-around task says the pilot must make a timely decision to discontinue the approach, not a last-second decision. A timely one, that word is in there on purpose. Timely decisions come from criteria you set before you need them, not standards you try to invent in the flare. Here's where I'll leave you. That voice I mentioned at the top, the one that says, just land, you can save this one, it doesn't disappear. It's there for instructors. It's there for commercial pilots with thousands of hours. It's there every time the approach starts going sideways, close to the ground. The goal is not to silence it. The goal is to be louder than it. You do that by setting a standard, practicing it, and believing in it enough that when that voice speaks, your training answers back first. Go around, come around again, land the right way. That is not a consolation prize. That is the right answer. The FAA Airplane Flying Handbook has a thorough section on go-arounds, and the NTSB accident database is worth your time if you want to understand how many times this plays out wrong. Find more at radiohangar.com. Safe flying. See you in the pattern.